The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In the Medrash Rabbah, Bereishis Beis, Osei, the Torah tells us at the beginning of the creation of the world, Bereishis Bara Lekim Es HaShomayim Es HaOretz, that in the beginning the Almighty created the heavens and the earth. Va'oretz Hoyse Tohu Vavohu, V'cheshich Al Pnei HaTohom, V'ruach Lekim Rachefes Al Pnei HaMoim. And the land was Tohu, this means that it was empty, Vavohu, and it was void. Cheshech al pnei tahom, and there was darkness over the depths. Now here is mentioned four descriptions which describe imperfections in the creation of the world. And the Medrash, as we've brought many times before, Reb Shimon ben Lakish posa kro b'malchios, that here the Torah, besides denoting the imperfections in the creation of the world, is also referring to four great kingdoms that will rise up, each one trying to destroy Israel. And each one in turn will be destroyed themselves, until finally the fifth Malchus, which is the Melech HaMashiach. So the Medrash tells us, V'oretz Hoyse Tohu, this that the earth was Tohu, was empty, Zu Malchus Bovel. This refers to the Babylonian Empire. Shnei Maroisis Oretz V'hinei Tohu. Vavohu, second description, refers to Malchus Modai. This refers to the kingdom of Modai, the Syrian Persian Empire, which is the empire which Haman collaborated with to try Lahashmi Lahare Gulabed, to destroy Eskola Yehudim, all of the Jews, Minar V'Atzokein, Taf V'Noshim B'Yem Echod, the young and the old, the women and the children, on one day. How do we know that this word, this description, refers to Modai? Shenemar v'yavilu lohovi yasoman. Because in the Megillus Esther it states, v'yavilu lohovi yasoman elamishte asher osso Esther. Odom medabrim, while Haman was still speaking to his family, the Sirisei HaMelech Higiu, servants of the king, came by Avhilu, and with a great haste they brought Haman to the banquet that Esther had prepared. Now the word in the Torah is Vavohu, and the word in the Megillah is Vayavhilu, from the word Boholo. And the Meforshim, the Matnis Kohuna, writes Bohu Ubahola Achasi. The word Bohu, which means an emptiness, and Bohola, which means with a great panic and a great haste, this basically is one word. Therefore, since in the creation of the world, the Torah uses the word, there was a disorder, and this disorder was an emptiness or a panic or a haste, this is referring to the kingship of Modai. Because there also we see that with a great haste, Haman was brought. There is what to be asked on this Medrash. Why did the Torah choose to signify, to indicate to us, the Malchus of Modai, the kingship of Modai, which was a mighty empire, Meo of Esrim, Rishivo Medinais, Achashverus ruled over 127 states, and Miseifa Elam Atseifa, The Gemara tells us that he was a ruler over the entire world, from one end of the world to the other. Why did the Torah choose this word? Behola, with a great haste. What does this have to do with Modai? What does this have to do with the kingship of Ahasuerus? What does this have to do with the Megillas Esther? And secondly, the Pasuk is written by Haman, not by Modai, not by the Syrian Persian Empire. Modai was Ahasuerus, that was the empire of Syria. Haman, this was a different character. He was from Amalek, the grandson of Esav. The Medrash brings the Pasuk from the Megillah which refers to Haman, Vayavilu Lahavi as Haman, with a great haste they brought Haman. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there was also a disorder in the world. And this refers to Malchus Modai, to the kingship of Modai. What is meant by this? Let's see if tonight we can give some explanation in this and perhaps have a greater insight in the Megillas Esther and in the miracle that took place, since from this Medrash it seems that this is the word, this is this description that pinpoints what took place between Modai and Haman and Klal Yisrael. When one reads the Megillah, he sees a story that unfolds and that takes place over many years. It starts in the third year of the reign of Ahasuerus, then it goes to the seventh year of the reign of Ahasuerus, and so forth. But if one will give a little study to the Megillah, he will be surprised to see that the actual Mapolo, the actual overthrow, the turning over of the events, Asachedesh Asher Nepach Lohem, that it was the month that was turned, overturned, Miyogin Lesimcha, Umeeval Yamtev, from disaster to rejoicing, from mourning to Yamtev, actually this took place in a very, very short amount of time. And I would like to spend a little time studying the Megillah with you now, so we can see this. It might be somewhat detailed, but from this, where there will be some surprising outcomes. The Megillah begins that Vayhi bimei Ahasuerus hu Ahasuerus haMelech meHedu v'yad Kush. It was during the days of Ahasuerus, who ruled from Hod ad Kush. He ruled the entire world. B'shnashleish l'molchei osa mishte l'chol sorov avodov. In the third year of his reigning, when he was a king, he made a great banquet for all of his princes and all of his servants. B'haraisai es eshek feid malchusai, to show the great glory and the beauty of his kingship. And this great banquet went on for 180 days. At the conclusion of this, he made another banquet, Amishte Shiva Shemen, for 7 days. And this was in the Shushan Habiro, this was in Shushan, his capital. Then the Megillah tells us, Gam Vashti Amalkos Amishte Noshim, that his queen Vashti also at this time made a great banquet for the women. On the seventh day of this banquet, after much drinking took place, the king commanded Lohavi as Vashti, that Vashti should be brought forth. But Moin Hamalka Vashti, Vashti refused to come. A whole session took place, and they decided that Vashti must be put to death for ignoring the command of the king. Then the Megillah goes on to tell us that after all of this passed, And the king woke up to what took place, and he missed his queen. And they advised him that he should make a great beauty contest, look for the most beautiful woman in all of the world, and he will make her a queen. And so this took place, and Esther was found, and she was brought to the capital. And when the king saw her, he loved her more than all of the other women. But he lokach Esther el Malchus ach emelech Achashverosh Malchusai b'chedish o'asiri u'chedish tevis. So Esther was taken to the king's capital, to the king's palace, in the 10th month, which was Tevis Bishnah Shevel Malchusai, the 7th year of his reign. So which means that 4 years passed by. Megillah starts out in the 3rd year, and at the end of this banquet he killed Vashti. And then, in the 7th year, 4 years later, he marries Esther, he makes Esther as the queen. After advori moila, after this took place, Gidla Melech Achashverosh is Haman. Achashverosh went, and he gave a great honor to Haman and a great power to Haman, where he made him into one of his great princes and noblemen. And Haman, everyone would bow to Haman, except Mordechai. And this enraged Haman, and he decided that he must kill Mordechai. But it was not within his dignity merely to wage war against Mordechai. So he decided that he would wage war against all of the Jews. So it was in the first month, the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of the reign of Achashverosh, people pour Mordechai through the lots, the gerel, to decide when is a good day to strike against the Yehudim. And the gerel came out that it would be in the 11th month of that year, Chodesh Adar. So the gerel took place, the lots took place, the Megillah tells us, in the 12th year of the reigning of Achashverosh. So already now, 9 years have passed. And Haman came to the king, and he said, Imam Melech Tov, if it's agreeable to the king, Yikosev la'abdom, let him write that the Jews should be destroyed, and I will give to the king's treasury 10,000 pieces of silver. And the king removed his ring, and he gave it to Haman, and he said, the money is returned to you, and the nation is yours to do what you want with them. So Haman called, the Sefrei HaMelech describes of the king, Bachedesh HaRishayin, in that month, on the 13th day. Vayikosev kichol asher tzivo Haman, and they wrote whatever Haman dictated to them. To every republic, to every state. Each one in accordance to its own language, and it was written and sealed with the ring of the king. And the Sforim were sent out, Lahashmi Lahare Galahabir is Kola Yehudim, that all of the Jews should be destroyed, Minarva Adzokain, the young and the old, the women and the children, in one day, on the 13th day of the 11th month of Adar. And all of the spoils should be taken. So the Megillah tells us that Haman received permission to send out this decree. And in fact, he did send out this decree on the 13th day of Nisan, in the 12th year of the reigning of the king. And the decree was made that at the end of that year, 11 months later, in Adar, all of the people of the nation shall rise up and destroy the Jews. On the 13th of Adar. Mordechai Yoda is Kol Asher Naso. Mordechai knew what took place. He was right in the capital. And he rent his garments. And he wept. And when Esther found out, she sent her emissaries to him asking, what's this all about? And Mordechai sent back to Esther the document that was sent out. Vatayimer Esther lo hashiv al Mordechai. And then Mordechai said that you must do something. You must go to the king. You must intervene. She said, I cannot. He said, you must, because you also will not be free from this. So Esther said to Mordechai, Lech k'neis es kol ha'yudim ha'nimtzim b'shushan. Go and gather up all of the Jews in Shushan. V'tzumo alai v'al teichlu v'al tishtu shleish shomim layla v'yon. And everyone should fast. They shall not eat, they shall not drink for 3 days. Gam ani v'nareisai otzum kein. And I and all of my maid servants also shall do this. And I will go to the king, even though I do not have permission to go to the king. And if I am destroyed, I will be destroyed. And Mordechai did this. And he did all that Esther commanded. Now here's a very important point in the Megillah. It tells us, Vayavor Mordechai. Yavor means Mordechai transgressed. So what does that mean, that Mordechai transgressed? So Rashi brings from the Chazal, Al das lisanis biyontav rishon shel Pesach. He transgressed the law and decided to fast on Pesach. She isani yudalet benissen v'tes vav v'tes zayin sharei b'yom gimel yud gimel nichtav asforim. Because we had learned that the documents were sent out on the 13th of Nisan. The 13th of Nisan is 2 days before Pesach. On the 14th of Nisan, immediately that day, Mordechai went to Esther. And Esther said that you must fast for 3 days. So this was the 14th, and the 15th, and the 16th of Nisan. Yudalet hezvovet hezayin. The 15th of Nisan is Pesach, and the 16th of Nisan is Pesach. So Mordechai had a problem. One is not allowed to fast on Yom Tov. That he decided that because there was a sakona, a danger to all of Israel, here we must break the law and we must fast. So Vayavor Mordechai, Mordechai broke the law of the Torah. He saw justification for it. And he fasted Erev Pesach, the first day of Pesach, the second day of Pesach. And he didn't eat matzah. He didn't eat matzah and he didn't eat morah. This is what is meant, Vayavor Mordechai, that he transgressed the law, he broke the law of the Torah. But with justification. So we see from here that the 3 days of fasting were on Erev Pesach, the first day of Pesach, and the second day of Pesach. Vayhi b'yom ha'shlishi v'tilbash Esther Malchus. On the third day of the fast, Esther put on her royal garments and she went to the king. And she pleaded with the king. And he said, what do you want? She said, let the king and Haman come today to the mishter, come today to the banquet that I will make for them. So the king said, make haste to Haman, that he should come to the mishter, to the banquet. Now that banquet, it is stated, was that day. So that's on the third day of the fast, which was the Tezai Nisan, the 16th of Nisan. At that banquet, the king asked Esther, what would you want? And Esther said, Shelosi Vakoshosi, my request and my plea is that if I find grace in your eyes, Yove Amelach Vamon Elamishta Shires Elohem Umochor Esekit Varamelach, come again to a banquet that I will make for you and Haman tomorrow. Vayetzo Haman bayema hu sameach v'teiv leiv. So Haman went out with a great joy. He saw how accepted he was by the king and by the queen. But when he saw Mordechai sitting in the gates of the king, and he would not stand for him, he would not bow for him, he became terrified, he became angry. And then he went to his house, and he called all of his sons together and his wife, and he told them that Esther only invited him with the king and no one else, and all of his great covet and glory. But still, his simcha is not complete because of Mordechai. So Zeresh, his wife, said, and to his friends, Yase Eitz Gevaya Chamishim Amah. Make a tree, a wood, which is 50 amas high. It's very high, 50 amas, it's almost 100 feet. And tomorrow, Uvaboker, tomorrow in the morning, go to the king and get permission to hang Mordechai. And then, tomorrow also, you'll be able to go to the party that Esther has invited you again. Balailo Ahu, that evening. Now, accordingly, that evening now was the 17th of Nisan, the eve of the 17th, because that was after the 3 days of the fast. So this was not Erev Pesach, not the first day of Pesach, not the second day of Pesach. But now this goes into the eve of the 17th of Nisan. That night, and the Chazal tell us that here was the beginning of the miracle. Nodded Oshnas HaMelech. The king couldn't sleep. And he said, bring the Sefer HaZichreines, bring the Book of Chronicles, and read it to me. And then he found out that Mordechai saved his life once, and he was never repaid. And at that time he heard someone in the courtyard, Miva Chotzer, who is in the courtyard? And Haman had come to the courtyard to ask the king, Litlay says Mordechai, to hang Mordechai on the tree that he had made. That means that day Haman had already made the tree. So he said, bring Haman in. And then the king told Haman that how should I repay a man that has saved my life? And Haman said, go and put on him the royal garments and ride him through the streets in the royal cavalry and call out before him that this is how the king wants to honor a person who is beloved to him. So he told him, Vayema HaMelech LeHaman, my hair, make haste, kach es elavush v'esasus at kasher dibalto, take the garment, take the horse, like you said, and go to Mordechai Yehudi, who's in the Shar HaMelech, in the gates of the king, and take him through the streets. So this is what Haman did. So he did this most logically. He did this next morning, because here we're speaking late at night, the king couldn't sleep. So he did this the next morning, and then Haman returned to his home, and he was very, very upset and very sad. And he told Zeresh Ishtai and Cholei Ahavov, all of his friends and his wife, what happened. And they said, Zeresh said, that if you cannot prevail over Mordechai, then how will you prevail over the entire nation? Leisucha leiki nofel tipol defonav. You cannot, you for sure will fall before him. Odom medabrin imay. While they were still speaking, the Sorisi HaMelech Higiu, the servants of the king came, Vayav Ilu. Now this is the posuk, this is the sentence that is brought by the Medrash. Vayav Ilu, and with a great haste, they brought him, Lohovi Yeshomen Alamishta Asher Osasa Esther. They brought him to the banquet that Esther had made. Now here we're speaking on Yud Zayin, on the 17th of Nisan, on the fourth day, after the 3 days of fast. And this now is the third day of Pesach. They came to the banquet, and again the king asked, what can I do for you? And Esther said, Vatan Esther Amalka Vataymar, Imotsosi Chin Beinecho Amelech, Tinosin Li Nafshi Bishelosi Vami Vakoshosi. If I find grace in the eyes of the king, give me my life and the life of my nation. Because we have been sold to be destroyed. And if we were merely sold for servants, then I wouldn't bother the king. And the king said, who did this? Who is the one that did this? Who is the one who is doing this? And Esther said, Ishar v'ayiv Haman aroazeh. This is Haman. And when Haman heard this, he didn't know what to do. And then the king in his anger got up and he walked out into the garden. And then he came back and he saw that Haman had fallen upon Esther. And this may, he became even more angry. And then Vayemer Harveino, Echon Minasorisim Livne Amelech Harveino, one of the servants of the king said that the tree which Haman had built to hang Mordechai, who spoke goodly about the king, is standing in the courtyard of the king, 50 yamas high. And the Melech said, the king said, Telu Olom, hang him. Vayitlu es Haman ala eitz asher echi leMordechai, they hung Haman on the tree which he had made for Mordechai, v'chamas haMelech shochocho, and this satisfied the king, he cooled down from this. Now this again was on the 17th of Nisan. All of this took place on the date of the second party, which was on the 17th of Nisan. By Emahu, now again the Megillah tells us, on that very day, the king gave to Esther Amalko the house of Haman. And Mordechai was allowed to come before the king because Esther related to the king who Mordechai is to her. Then the king removed his ring, which he had given to Haman, and he gave it to Mordechai. Then Esther appointed Mordechai as the ruler over the house of Haman. This all was on that same day, the 17th of Nisan. Then further, Vatosev Esther Vatidaber Lifnei HaMelech. Esther continued to speak to the king, and she wept, and she pleaded, and she said that you must retract the decree of Haman to destroy the Jews. And the king said, that the house of Haman I have given to Esther, and he I have hung on the tree. Now you, Kisvel al Yudim, write to the Jews, Katev Beinechem, like you want. B'shem HaMelech V'chismu V'tavas HaMelech. Write in the name of the king, and seal it with the seal of the, with the royal seal of the king. Write a second decree. The first decrees cannot be retracted. Write a second decree. Write what you want in my name and seal it. Here at this point, the decrees were annulled. They were overruled. This was all the same day, on the 17th of Nisan. Vayikor Sefer HaMelech Beisahi B'Chedesh HaShlishi. Then they gathered together all of the scribes and they prepared the documents. This took some time. B'Chedesh HaShlishi Hu Chedesh Sivan B'Shleish V'Esrim Bay. And this was on the 21st of Sivan. The 21st of Sivan, which was approximately 60 or 65 days after the first decree was written. The first decree was written on the 13th of Nisan, and this is the 23rd of Sivan, so it was approximately 2 months later. And they wrote all that Mordechai had commanded. And this went over the entire world, and it was written in the hand of the king, and it was sealed with his royal seal, that the king commands, gives permission to all of the Jews to stand up and destroy anyone who will want to harm them. And this was designated for that day. Which day? The 13th day of Chedesh Ador. And then the Megillah tells us Bishneim Osa Chedesh U Chedesh Ador on the 12th month, which was Chedesh Ador. On the 13th day, that the it was at that time that the decree was supposed to come into effect. It was the day when the enemies of the Jews had thought that they would destroy them. But this was all overturned. It was on this day that the Jews overturned the decree and ruled over all of their enemies. So the decree was ended on the 13th of Adar, which is Erev Purim of the 11th month. Now let's see what we have from here. What comes out from all of these cheshbonos, from all of these dates, is as follows. from the beginning of the Megillah, which starts in the third year of the reigning of Ahasuerus, where he started his banquet, until the time when the actual decree was actually reverted, this spans a time of 10 years, from the third year of his reign to the 13th year of his reign. From the time when Esther was taken as a queen until when the actual decree was overturned, this spans a time of 6 years. From the time when Haman and Ahasuerus collaborated to send out such a decree, to make a decree that the Jews should be destroyed, until the actual time of the overturning of the decree, spans a time of 11 months. From the 13th of Nisan to the 13th of Adar. Exactly 11 months. The actual time, from the time that the decree was authorized until Haman was killed, and until the decree was overruled by the king, was only 4 days. From the time that the decree was authorized by Haman and Ahasuerus until the time that Haman was killed and that the king overruled the decree, was merely 4 days. 3 days of fasting, which was the 14th of Nisan, the 15th of Nisan, and the 16th of Nisan, and the following day, the 17th of Nisan. And the time which it took for Esther to come and plead to Ahasuerus for her life, and for Havona to come and intervene, and for the king to kill and hang Haman, and for the king to give over the house of Haman to Esther, and for the king to give the ring, his royal ring, to Mordechai, and for Mordechai to be appointed over the house of Haman, and for the king to give a blanket permission to Esther and Mordechai to write out decrees and to overturn all of these other decrees, how long did this take? Exactly 1 day. This was all on the 17th of Nisan. And also, all of the prelude to this miracle, for example, when the king couldn't sleep, or for example, when Haman was forced to lead Mordechai through the streets and give him this honor, this also took place at that time, on the 17th of Nisan. And all of the effort which Klal Yisrael, Mordechai and Esther and everyone else did to overturn this great decree spanned a time of 3 days. These were the 3 days of fasting. This means that even though the Megillah spans a time of 13 years, of 10 years, from the third year of the reigning of Ahasuerus till the 13th year of Ahasuerus, and even though the time of the Megillah, which brings in Esther as the queen, till the end of the Megillah, till the actual time when the Jews rose up against their enemies, also spans a long period of time, 6 years. And the decree itself was for 11 months, because it went out on the 13th of Nisan, and it was supposed to take place 11 months later. But the entire overthrow of the decree, that the king couldn't sleep, and that Haman led Mordechai through the streets, and that Esther first pleaded to the king, the first time she told the king what the problem was, and that the king said to kill Haman, and his house was taken from him,
And the royal ring was taken from him. And it was given to Mordechai and to Esther. And the royal seal was given to them in order that they could send out new documents to overturn the decree. This all took place in one day. There were the 3 days, the decree went out on the 13th of Nisan, 2 days before Pesach. Mordechai immediately went to Esther that day, and she said that tomorrow, as of tomorrow, we will fast for 3 days. Mordechai fasted for 3 days on the Erev Pesach, the first day of Pesach, and the second day of Pesach. He didn't eat matzah or morah. And it was on the third day that she asked the king to come to her banquet. And then she asked the king to come the next day to the banquet. And it was on the day after these 3 days of fasting is when she introduced the problem to him and the master plan of Haman that he had worked out long before was completely destroyed. He and his plan and his wealth was destroyed in one day. We see this took place with a great haste. And incidentally, we find many places in the Megillah that it says, for example, the king said, Maharu es Haman, hurry Haman, and bring him to the, so he will come to the party of Esther. This was the first party. Another place it says, Maher kaches alavush, besasus asher dibarto. But the king told Haman, hurry, and take the garment and take the horse, and lead Mordechai through the streets. And then it states, and this is the posuk, this is the sentence that the Medrash says, Odom medabri, while they were still speaking, Haman was speaking to his wife and family. Sirise hamelech igiu, servants of the king came, vayavhilu, and with a great panic and a great haste, vayavhilu lohovi es Haman, elamishte asher osas Esther. They brought Haman to the mishte, to the party that Esther made, and this was the second party. This was the second party, and actually Haman was being hurried to his death, because it was at that party that he would be destroyed and hung. And who was bringing him? Ahasuerus. It says, Odom midabrim, while they were still speaking, Sorise hamelech igiu. It was the servants of the king were coming with a great haste and a great panic. Now why is it? Why is it like this? The Maraumi Prague writes, Bibnei ki kol dover shuhu min Hashem izborach ve'enu min hanhogos ha'ilma enu nimshach. Anything that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not take time. Shikol hanhogos ha'ilma hi azman. Anything that happens from this world does take time. Why? Because this world was created tachas hashemesh. It was created beneath the sun. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he made the sun as its ruler. And from the sun comes the power of time. And therefore everything in this world must function through the limitations and the zoning of time. This is Tachas HaShemesh. So everything in this world must be Nimshach, everything must take time, must unfold and happen in its due course. But something that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Almighty, that comes min lamalo min Hashemesh. That comes from beyond the sun. That comes min olam ha'elyon, from a higher world. And there it's free from time. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, it's not limited to time at all. Once it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed it should take place, then it takes place immediately. Without any tzimtzum, without any limitation to the factor of time. And this miracle that took place in Purim, this was the hand of the Almighty. And here it is revealed to us that even though the hand of the Almighty was not apparent, nevertheless, it was the hand of the Almighty. Even though it was not revealed, nevertheless, it was there. And therefore, it came with a great haste and a great speed. We can add a little to this, that the Vilna Gaon writes in his commentary, Odem Medabrim, while they were still speaking, and the servants of the king came to hurry Haman away, because it was at that time that Zeresh, his wife, said that Barele Tuchalei, you will not succeed over Mordechai, Kinoful, you will fall before him. So at that time there was the consideration that Haman should retract. He should go and take down the gallows that he built, in order that he shouldn't incriminate himself if things don't work out the way that he wanted them to. And in order that he shouldn't have time to retract and reconsider, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved the pawns on the chessboard, that Odom Medabrim, while they were still talking and they were still plotting, Sirisei HaMelech Higiu, the servants of the king came by Afilu, and with great haste they took him away El Amishte, to the party that Esther was making for him. And here too we see the guiding hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealed in the nature, but the hand of the Almighty. And we can go into this a little further, that with the destruction of Haman came the destruction of Ahasuerus also. Because one should not mislead himself. Ahasuerus was no righteous person. Ahasuerus was a party to this great conspiracy. He collaborated with Haman to destroy the entire nation. Lahashmi min laharig al abed. And it's true that in the Megillah it is not written directly against Mordechai. But that was because when it was written, the Jews were still under the sovereignty of it wasn't written directly against Ahasuerus, but that's because the Jews were still under the sovereignty of Ahasuerus and they were not able to write in such a way. But the Gemara darshans many, many times how great of a tyrant and how evil of a person Ahasuerus was. So this definitely was a collaboration. And we find here that each time that it's mentioned, a great haste by Haman, and this was enacted by Ahasuerus himself, this was to bring his own downfall, the destruction of Ahasuerus' plot and Haman. By Avilu Lahovias Haman, with great haste they brought Haman. Who? The servants of the king. Maharu, he commanded Haman, hurry and come to the first party that was prepared for you. Maher Kaches Lavush, he commanded, hurry and go take and give honor to Mordechai, which was the beginning of his downfall. We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was moving the pawns on the chessboard, where they were becoming merely an even, a stone in his hand. And it's very similar to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, what he will do to Paray. that in the beginning of Parshas Boy, Vayema Hashem El Meisha, Boy El Paroi, go to Paroi, Ki Ani Echbarati Es Libay Ves Leiva Vodov, I will harden his heart and the hearts of his servants. L'man Shisi Eisei Sa'ele B'kirboi, in order that I shall be able to show all of my great signs within them. Uleman, and in order, Uleman tisaper beozne vincho ben bincho, and in order that you shall tell over into the ears of your sons and your grandsons, esasher isalauti b'mitzrayim, how I have isalauti. And Rashi tells us isalauti, sochakti, how I sported with Paroi in Egypt. I have sported with them in order that I can bring my signs and my miracles into Egypt. So was HaKadosh Baruch Hu sporting with Ahasuerush and with Haman. And now we gain a little more insight into what the Medrash is telling us. The Medrash says, Vaha Oretz Hayis Tohu Vavohu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. There was Vohu. There was a disorder. There was a lack of order. A Baholo, a great haste. And this refers to Baruch Hu destroyed with a great haste. And has brought the Posuk Vayavilu Lohavi as Haman, that Haman was brought with a great haste to his destruction. This is the very sentence that leads to the downfall of the plot of Ahasuerush and Haman. We can go into this a little further. What is the difference between the miracle which took place in Egypt, the Exodus or the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, and the miracle which took place in Purim? And the Gemara tells us there are two classifications of miracles. One was Bigolui, and one was Benista. Now one is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely overturned the nature of the world through his 10 plagues, Eser Makis, through the killing of the firstborn, through the fact that 600,000 could walk out of Egypt, through the splitting of the sea, time after time after time, through the turning of the water into blood, through the bringing of the frogs. He overturned the nature of the world. He freed himself from the shackles of the teva of the nature of the world in order to show his Yad Chazoka Uzraya Netuya, his strong hand and his outstretched arm. Purim, we didn't see any of this. We didn't see any open miracles. So what does this mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu respected the nature of the world. He worked within the nature of the world. Not true. The Almighty is never limited by the nature. And when the Almighty works, He can choose to work all of the time without any limitations. So what then is the difference between the two? In both cases, Kodesh Baruch Hu brought great miracles to Klal Yisrael without any shackles from the nature whatsoever. And in Purim also. But the distinction between the two is that when it came to the miracle of Egypt, this was revealed to us. when it came to the miracle of Purim, this was concealed to us. In both cases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked beyond nature. And it came Mimokar Elyon, from a source far above this world. But when it came to Egypt, this was revealed to us. This was an Eis Golui. When it came to Purim, this was hidden from us. This was concealed. Even though the Almighty was working against all of the nature, we could not see it. It was very heavily concealed. And this the Gemara tells us in Masechta Chulin. And Daf Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Esther min haTorah minayim. Where in the Torah do we find an indication of Esther? Even though she lived after the writing of the Torah, but the Gemara feels that there must be some indication of her in the Torah. Where do we find it? So the Gemara brings a pasuk, V'anechi Aster Aster. I will Aster Aster, I will surely conceal my face. Now what is this pasuk? This is a pasuk in Devarim Lamed Aleph. The Torah tells us, "V'chora api bay v'yemahu." There will be a time when you will go out of Eretz Yisrael. You will go into Golus, into the diaspora, and you will become lost with all of the nations. You will follow them in their ways. You will worship idolatry. And I will become very angry with you, the Almighty writes. And I will leave you, forsake you, and I will conceal my face from you. And there will be many problems by Israel. There will be much affliction, a lot of troubles. And you will say that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left us, this is why all of these troubles have befallen us. And on that day I shall surely conceal my presence from you. And in these words, Haster, Astir, they're written the same way as Esther. And from here we see Esther is written in the Torah. I'll call Aro Asher also. I shall conceal my face from you, from all of the evil that you have done. Kifono Elohim Acherim, because you have turned to other gods. Now this Gemara is very difficult. Here we're looking for an indication of Esther, and you bring me a curse. The Torah says, Haster Aster Ponai, because of all your evils, I shall conceal my face from you. This was Esther. Esther was the great tzaddikus, the great neviyah. She was a prophetess. She was a righteous woman. She was one of the greatest that we ever had. And the Targum tells us, "Vano salko asalek shchinto minoy v'yemahu." My shchina, my presence, I will withdraw from you. So what does it mean? Anechi Aster Aster. This is Esther. The Vilna Gaon, the Maral explained, when we are in Eretz Yisrael, there we will see openly the hand of the Almighty. Eretz Yisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina, His presence is there in its full strength, and during the time when the majority of the Jews will be living there and the Beis HaMikdash will be built, so then the openness of the Almighty's hand, that's something that we are accustomed to. The fact is, the Gemara tells us, that there were miracles happening every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. But when we go into Golus, when we go into the Diaspora, and then we cannot see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He is not revealed at all there. And there is great darkness. How do we also know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us? Has He really left us? Has He really left control of the world? Has He really left control of our destiny and fate? How do we know that He is still with us? And this is the Gemara's question. Esther mina Torah minayim. We know that in the glory of Eretz Yisrael, the glory of the Beis HaMikdash, in the glory of the Shvatim, all of Israel dwelling there, there is Shechina Shruya Beneihem. Holy presence is there. He can be seen. This we have all types of sources in the Torah. The greatest source on this is the splitting of the sea, Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Torah tells us that there had a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Before Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, that had a sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. And the Mishkan, the sanctuary. But how do we know when Israel will be in Golus, and they'll be in Russia, or they'll be in Germany, or they'll be in Spain, or they'll be in Africa, or they'll be in Poras and Modai, or they'll be in Bovel, and there isn't the Kedushas Haaretz, and there isn't the Hashraz Hashchino? Where do we see in the Torah also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us? So this, the Gemara brings this posuk. There'll be a time when you'll go out of Eretz Yisrael, and you'll forget Hashem and the Torah, and you'll turn to other gods, and I will conceal myself from you, and there will be great troubles and afflictions, and you will say that Ki ein Eloikai bikirbi, Hashem is not amongst us. And this is why all of these troubles are coming. V'anochi haster aster ponai b'yeimahu. And I will conceal myself from you on that day. And here is written the word Esther. Even though I will conceal myself from you on that day, and you will not see me, but the power of Esther is still there. What is the power of Esther? The power of Esther was the miracle of Purim. That even though I will conceal myself and you will not see me, but great miracles will happen to you just as they happened when you went out of Egypt. And not only great miracles, but in some ways even greater. The Gemara tells us that all of the Yom Tovim one day will become void, but Purim never will become void. In some ways Purim was even greater than the others, because the others all centered around Eretz Yisrael, or where the Shechina was there. Purim, this was in the darkness, a double darkness. Haster Astir, it was the darkness of Haman and the darkness of Ahasuerus. It was the darkness of Bovel and the darkness of Modai. And still a great miracle will happen to you, like the miracle of Purim. This is what is meant. Esther mina Torah minayin. Where do we know in the Torah that there is the power of Esther? And this is the answer. But even in the darkest days, when Israel is the furthest from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where they have turned towards other gods, still the power of Esther is there. The power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will perform great miracles for Israel. Now, a miracle means something that is not limited to the nature, to natural forces and laws. So what is the difference then between the miracle of Pesach and the miracle of Purim? Pesach was not limited and Purim was not limited. The difference is that in Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to us. While in Purim, Haster Astir, I will create great miracles, but they will be concealed from you. You will not be able to see my hand. Therefore, what took place during Purim was as great as what took place during the splitting of the sea. But we could not see it. It could not be defined. We perhaps could not comprehend it. But there is one sign that it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yesh Simen Godel, there is a great sign. And that sign is that when it was destined to happen, it happened with a tremendous haste and speed. The whole recording of the Megillah takes over a span of over 10 years. But the complete downfall of Haman and the Chedesh Asher Nepach and the overturning of the month, that took place merely in one day. And this is a sign that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand was not revealed to us, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when something comes out of this world, then it's Tachas HaShemesh. It must be under the sign. It must function within the structure of time. When something very great comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does not function with any time, but happens with a great mehirus, with a great speed, and immediately. Now the enemy was Haman, who collaborated with Ahasuerus. And Haman came from Amalek. And the quality of Amalek, the Torah tells us, is ki lo yore elokim. They didn't have fear in Hashem. The quality of Amalek was that of kefira, atheism. Because when Israel went out of Egypt, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu displayed so many great miracles, and all of the nations knew of this, because all of the waters in the world had split at that time. Vayiboku hamayim. Vayiboku hayam leinemar el hamayim. It does not say that the sea split, but the water split. And it says that shomu amim yirgozum. Chiloch ha'jeish v'ipaloshes. The nations heard what happened, and they trembled. Everyone feared Israel. Immediately afterwards, it is written by Yovei Amalek. Amalek came to make war against Israel. Why? V'layore Elakim, because they did not fear Hashem. Even a miracle which was completely revealed, they denied. They said this was a scientific phenomenon. This was hearsay. This was coincidental. Even a miracle which was revealed, they denied. So how much more so would they deny what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does when it is concealed? And the whole essence of Amalek is that they attach everything that happens to mere coincidental powers. You know, it's interesting, the psychology of a kafir, of an atheist. He denies the power of the Almighty, but he believes in some power. Everybody believes in some power. They believed in the power that there are forces in the universe which determine events, and these are directed and geared by the power of coincidence and chance, whatever that power might be. And this is why the commentaries tell us that when Haman wanted to choose a date to destroy Israel, he threw a lot. It says, he pilpur. Why did he throw a lot? He was looking for a mazel dik a day, looking for a good day. But if he threw a lot, so why would that be a mazel dik a day? He believed in the powers, in some types of supernatural powers. So he threw a lot, and the lot came out on the 13th of Adar. And it said that he was very happy with that, because he had heard that Moshe Rabbeinu died in Adar, which was true. So he felt that the luck was with him. He denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he believed in some type of luck. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu here came to fight him on his own ground. Haman was representing Amalek. And Amalek was one of the strongest powers in the world. It was a power that denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yod al kes ko, that my hand is raised over my throne, that my hand and my name is not complete, and my throne is not complete as long as Amalek exists in this world. Because I represent the Malchus of Hashem, the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Amalek represents the denial of that kingship. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to fight Amalek on his own ground. And he said, we will take that day that you threw your lot, and it was determined that that's a good day for the destruction of Klal Yisrael, we will take that day. And that day will be Nehepach, Nehepachu, will be overturned, and it will be the day of your destruction. You deny my power. You deny that I control the nature. Then I will destroy you by my hand. That will be concealed in the nature. You not only deny open miracles, but you deny all facets of my control. I will destroy you without revealing myself at all. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, and on that day, he overturned that this day shall be the day not for the destruction of Klal Yisrael, Cholilo, but for the destruction of Haman and all of the nations that will stand up against Israel. And it's interesting to note that Purim, the Yantif of Purim, is called Halshem HaPur because of the lots that Haman threw. This the sages chose for the name of Purim. Because Haman relied on the powers of luck or chance, a denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed that he controls even this also. And therefore, the Medrash tells us Vavohu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. There was a disorder. This refers to Mordai. This refers to Ahasuerus and Haman. Because with a great disorder of the physical universe, with a great haste, an upsetting of the physical universe, Mordai and Haman were destroyed. Dichsiv, as it is written, Vayavilu Lohovi Yes Haman, that Ahasuerus himself sent his servants to hurriedly, with great haste, bring Haman El Amishte Asher Osso Esther, which Esther had made to destroy both Haman and Ahasuerus. And this was the great sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand was controlling everything, all events, in a matter of one day. Haman was destroyed. The plot was unraveled. The decree was retracted. The ring was taken from him and given to Esther. The house of Haman was given to Esther. And Mordechai rose up to Gedula. Mordechai rose up to great strength. From here we have a great insight into the power that Purim gives to a Jew. That not only when he's capable of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but even when he's in a situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be seen, the darkness is too heavy, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules the world and creates great miracles and Yeshuas for Klal Yisrael. And this came about because of the 3 days of tainus and tefillah, of fasting and prayer, brought on by Mordechai and Esther, because of their great emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their great faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reciprocated with this great miracle. May we always be zecher to see further miracles for Klal Yisrael and the Golus, until we are all brought back to Eretz Yisrael. Then we will see the Shechina Begluya, the revealed hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We may be zeicher to further miracles in Yeshua's and a joyous Purim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.